Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Welcome back, 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. And of course, we're friends, man. It's happening throughout up to the hour 8. And remember that Men's Dialogue is up next from there. And by popular demand, people have been really saying that, you know, tell us something more on Men's Dialogue. Tell us something more on Men's Dialogue. And of course, that's exactly what we are going to bring about. Nevertheless, I want to come back to the notion of a carnal mind, carnality, a carnal set of thoughts. What this means to us and the spiritual implications of this. Malak, I want to put you through, man, and of course, tell us how you feel about this. I want to hear from you as to what you say about this, and tell us what comes to mind about a carnal mind. Tuda, Malak.
I want us to look at the scripture in the book of Proverbs or Mashali. And when we speak of Mashali or the book of Proverbs, it is about the rule. It is about the government. So this symbolizes those that are obedient, and it is now in the everlasting reign, basically. So when we want to enter this everlasting reign, it is about walking straight. It is about listening to instructions. When one is a parent and you have children, you want to enforce the rules in the house. If you say to them, "Liskela tsama busigo," that's what you expect. You expect them, maybe khaba fetsa ho ja ba tlhatswe dikotlele. You know, it's what you train. So there are certain things that we ought to walk by. And now, Abba Yahuwah gives us his word to be our guide. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 3 from verse 5. It simply says, trust in Yahuwah with all our hearts. It's instructing us to trust in Abba Yahuwah with all our hearts, and not to lean in our own understanding. The minute our own understanding creeps in, then no. We no longer are upright, but there's some twisting or coiling or carnality that has crept in. It has knocked, and we have opened the door to allow it. So it says, trust in Abba Yahuwah with all our hearts. The fullness, full to capacity, not bikinyana. Not bikinyana, but it says with all, and not to lean at all to our own understanding. Wait, what? So, and it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him in everything that we do. And how do we acknowledge him? Acknowledgement is not to just to say, oh, okay, we know the Almighty is there. But it is the acknowledging by walking, right? By walking, surrendering, respecting, having reverence upon his word. It's kind of not I, but kiwane. Then I can get away with it. But to know that he's watching over us. So in all our ways, we acknowledge him, and he makes our path straight. That is what he's asking from us. That is what is required for us to walk straight, for us to walk in the ways that are pleasing before him. And when we do that, then already everything becomes perfect and straight. Isaiah 27:1 says, in that day, Yahuwah with a saw and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Leviathan. Even Leviathan has oh, that crooked serpent, you see, crooked serpent, because the snake, when it walks, I don't know what it's called, but it slides, and you can see the it symbolized the coiling. And we've looked at the python, how it kills its prey. It squeezes the life out of it.
Yeah.
So now Abayahua is killing this Leviathan, right? This piercing serpent, because it brings crookedness. So there are thoughts that are not good. There are thoughts that removes us from his presence. There are thoughts that are leading us astray. And these thoughts are leading us to carnality, because we start to want to reason. We start to bring in stomach politics in things. We start to say, and that is now when we begin now to sin. Because now we're inviting sin, and we have this excuse now that says, no, but Len Nakemut. And Yahusha, he came to set the tone. He came to set the path. He's become the example that we should look at and we should follow. It is possible, because the first Adam was made and he fell. But the second Adam, which is Yahusha, he came to show and to bring a model of saying, look, I walk in the image of Abba Yahuwah. That is why he says, me and my father are one. Because when you see me, you see the father.
Yeah.
I guess that's what he told Thomas.
Yeah.
You say you don't know the father. When you see me, you see the father, because but when you look at Adam, when Abba Yahuwah came in the garden, Genesis chapter number 3, he even asked Adam, it's like Mutu sends a copper head, you know, how some mourn.
Yes, lost their form.
Because now, the way Arikluchetzeng Gating, Harasakhle Ritswana. It's like we're wearing makeup, people by itsenya dintsi, people they change their look, because it's like, no, the way you're itsenya thing is not enough, and re batla go edify, and we start to go take things that are bringing us to carnality, we invite them in our lives. And now when you look, hey, Wizi, ha, ukre, agar to go lefatseng.
Yeah.
So nisi ke kwa le di weave.
Yewe.
So tsatsile lengwe ge ya nna gore man wa thwala.
Yewe.
Ya no motho mo so motho and all that, and then motho ro bala tsentse le gusha. Ga tso ga phakela, ga ntsa le gusha. E ka re monna. And then can the Murua Maban, why even? Has a second Simon in Maban. So, Kiki, Abayahua, now, he, there's this change.
Yeah.
That now has now changed the way I do things.
We lose his image.
He's created me to be pure, to be innocent. But now, there's these influences. In his presence, and now I'm no longer the same again. So these are the things that we have to guard against. Shalom Rabbah.
Tuda Rabbah. Thank you so much, Malaka. Really appreciate. We are talking about a carnal mind, what it is even all about.
Zibandakanye nathi ekuguquleni impilo zabantu ilizwe liphela apha ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
657 Media Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We are touching base on this, the very issue of a carnal mind, part 2 of the session. This is, and of course, Professor, let me bring this to you. the very notion of a carnal mind comes in quite fervently these days, because it may come in from the intellectual, social, political, moral, spiritual, religious, economic, commercial, industrial sectors, the philosophical, political, class sectors. We see carnality having its place and settled like dust. You know, it's just settled. And this in itself really gives us a problem. What comes to mind?
A carnal mind, again, is associated with those people who have taken their trust and put them on men. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 7 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." That's verse 5. So if men have shifted their trust from God and they have put their trust in men, they must know that they are carnal. If men have depended on their strength, their own ability, their own money, their own possessions, we must know that those men are carnal. If men have departed from the Lord, those men are carnal, because men become spiritual if they are in the Spirit, and this is the Spirit of God. So when we show that we don't trust God, so it means faithlessness at some point in time is carnality, because in faithlessness or in the lack of faith, we are saying we do not trust he who spoke, because he who spoke gave us the spiritual food, gave us the word, which is the Spirit. So when we are not going to trust the word, which is the Spirit, it means we are trusting the flesh, ourselves, or we trust men. And the Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in another man, because he takes that which has to be given to God and gives it to men. So that's carnality. And if a man will be dependent on his own ability, dependent on his own finances, dependent on his own strength, that man is carnal. And that is enmity against God, because it means that men do not, those men do not recognize God as the source of life. So those are the things we are talking about tonight when we talk of carnality, or a mind that is carnal is a mind that is dependent on self. And we see these things even in our churches, even in our homes, where we are no longer taking our trust to God, where I will begin to trust my wife more than my husband, or where you trust your husband more than your wife. So when we are no longer looking into the source of life as the one who needs to be looked up to, this is when we become carnal. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29, Brother Ray, says, "Truly, this only I have found, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many schemes." So whilst God has created us uprightly, has created us pure, we have moved from the position of purity, we have moved from the position of uprightness and started to devise schemes and ways of survival. So sometimes those schemes of survival, we say we take them to our neighbors, to our people, to our family members, to our spouses, to our children, and we think they are the ones who are going to give us hope, they are the ones who are going to give us survival. So we tend to make arrangements and plans to around people rather than to plan with God and allow God to be God in our situations. So hence here in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, men have sought out many schemes. This includes the schemes of survival. This includes the schemes of making things succeed in one's life. So sometimes we think we can be able to do things, whereas God has created us in a pure manner, created us uprightly, that we can and we have to depend on him. But when we are not seeing that as the main thing, we are carnal, because we are taking that which is godly and that which has to be associated with the Father, and we give it to men. It means our hearts are not aligned with God. Our hearts are not in God, because our minds are not aligned. Our minds are darkened. Our understanding is darkened. So says the book of Ephesians, that our understanding is darkened, which is why we are unable to see things for what they really are. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18. But I just want to touch verse 18, saying, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. This is because the understanding of man is darkened due to the carnality. It is because men are not in the spirit and they are not living according to the law of the spirit. It means therefore our understanding would be darkened. It means we'll be alienated from the life of God because we remain in that state of carnality. So a carnal mind takes us away from the life of God and makes us to remain in that state of ignorance. And when we remain in that state of ignorance, it means our hearts are also full of blindness. That's what we are talking about when we talk of a carnal mind. That's a mind that has its understanding darkened. That's a mind that is alienated from the life of God. So when we are not thinking that God is the only source, we are in carnality. We are separated from the Father. We are ignorant. We have the heart that is blind to the understanding of the true word of God, of the true meaning of life. A carnal mind is dead to God. A carnal mind is hostile to God. A carnal mind is numb to the things of the Spirit. It is a mind that is trapped in darkness. It is imprisoned by the chains of darkness, the chains of selflessness, or the chains of selfishness rather. It is a life that is chained in a space where it cannot see any other way out other than through itself. So that's a mind we are talking about. A carnal mind is enmity to God, and God would like us to be alive back in Him and live by the mind of the Spirit and retain that stature and the identity that He gave us when He created us.
Which means we must repent, therefore, Professor. This indeed, I hear it as a call to repentance, and to say, Father, check our minds as to whether we still are stayed in You and we are still focused, so that we don't waver off to the left or the right, but that we follow Your ways each and every time.
Masimdumise rhoqo ngecawe ngo 5 o'clock ekuseni no Ayanda Nenemba. Siyathandaza, siyadumisa, sitya ilizwi nobungqina uKristu. Let's praise Him ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Welcome back, 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit, coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. It's intensive discourse about the issue of a carnal mind, and we're trying to explore a variety of aspects that really speak on the issue of a carnal mind. And let's listen to Rato. Rato, what comes to mind when we touch on the issue of a carnal mind? Good evening and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to be part of it.
Good evening, Pastor Ray, and the amazing listeners to Radio Pulpit Jikelele. Not forgetting the wonderful contributors to tonight's discourse, the carnal mind. Pastor Ray, what an intriguing topic of discussion that is led by the Holy Spirit. We give glory, we give thanks to God and God alone. The carnal mind is at the root of many of the struggles that human beings are faced with. It's the lust, it's the negative thoughts, it's the sexual sins, it's the lying, it's the murder, pastory, the list is endless, you name it. The carnal mind must be destroyed or else it will continue to rebel against God. As I was delving down to researching the topic and finding specific Bible verses that led me to having this contribution, I asked the Holy Spirit, how can we destroy the carnal mind? And I see in the book of the well of the fountain, it says, first of all, a man in his own strength cannot destroy the carnal mind. There's nothing that a man can do to destroy it. Man must have a relationship with Christ, which is an important foundation that man should have, and subject himself to grace and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That is the remedy, Pastor Ray. A relationship with Christ, a submission to grace, and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is important. While the specific phrase, a carnal mind, is used in the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6 to 7, talking about life in the Spirit, its concept is also reflected in the Old Testament. And the verses that I chose, Pastor Ray, through these verses that contrast human desires with God's way and show the negative consequences of disobedience, a foundational Old Testament verse example is the book of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8 to 9, the compassion of the Lord, which states, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord.
Yeah.
Another verse is taken from the sin of Judah in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, which says, "The heart is deceitful above all, things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So the chapter 55, verse 8 to 9 of the book of Isaiah, this passage directly contrasts God's thoughts and ways with humanity, a key concept for understanding a mind not aligned with God. And the verse of chapter 17, verse 9 in the book of Jeremiah, this verse points out to the wickedness and deceitful nature of the human heart, which in a biblical context can lead to tonight's discussion of a carnal or fleshly mindset. So as I was delving deep into this discussion, Pastor Ray, I was asking myself six questions, or rather seven questions, that I need to reflect on, and the believers of the show, so that they can have an idea of a carnal mind. So the first one will be, are you concerned about yourself more than anything else?
There you go.
Second one, are you obsessed with getting more and never satisfied with what you have? Third one, do you think you are more than what you really are? Fourth one, do you find yourself unwilling to forgive? Fifth one, are you seeking pleasure with no boundaries? Six, are you worshipping people and ideas more than worshipping God? And lastly, I'd like to reflect on love, tando, lerato. Is your love for others growing cold? Amen, Pastor Ray. So the conclusion that I'd like to leave us with tonight is, God can destroy the fleshly carnal mind and give the crucified believer a new mind and heart. He can give man a mind that is set on things of the Spirit. He can free man from walking according to the desires of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. Let us put off our carnal mindset and develop a mind that is founded and fruitful and focused on Jesus the Christ. I'd like to encourage us listeners, and the ones that are streaming into Radio Pulpit Jikelele tonight, with this encouragement verse, that Christ has set us free, and we order need to keep in step with the Spirit, as written in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. And it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you want to do. And I love how this chapter closes off so gracefully and so powerfully slow. Chapter 5, verse 25 to 26. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Because those are concepts of the world, and we are not from the world. As much as we are here, we do not live here. Let us be guided by the fruits of the Spirit. Amen.
Rato, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This being part two of A Carnal Mind, it is such a pleasure to include these comments and, of course, also to make us think even and delve deeper and look into those areas of our lives where carnality seems to be having its own ways.
Tapelo ya motho yo lukileng ena le matla. Tswela pele go rapelela Radio Pulpit moshumong o re o dirang Afrika Borwa le ka ntlhagamelwane ya yona.
657 Media Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. Tuesday Live, the name of the show, man. This is your show. And, of course, we are talking about a carnal mind, what it is all about. And some of the challenges that are there when it comes to really determining the scourge of carnality upon our lives. It happens many times, man. I might be filled with carnality being behind the mic. It should be all about my fame and outdoing others and having a great show that would make me to pat myself at the back. That's carnality. You know, those questions which Rato asked there, quite guiding towards one determining as to the extent and scourge of carnality in one's life. Sipati, thank you so much. And when we talk about a carnal mind, what comes to your thoughts about this? What have you discovered?
Good evening, Pastor Ray, and good evening to your listeners. I thank you for the opportunity to contribute to tonight's topic, the carnal mind.
Mm.
So when we read in Romans 8, verse 6, Paul says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So from that, we can see that the Word of God speaks of two kinds of minds, the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. One that leads to death and the other to life and to peace. Another translation of Romans 8 says, a mind that is governed by flesh. So what is it that we mean by being carnally minded? It's basically a spiritual separation from God. And when we delve deeper, you get to understand that the word carnal means flesh or fleshly. It speaks of a mind that is ruled by worldly desires or human desires, a mind that is ruled by pride, by sin, you know, a mind that resists God. When you read again in Romans 8, verse 7, Paul says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So a carnal mind basically says, I'll do things my way. It wants comfort over conviction. It wants self over sacrifice. It resists prayer. It resists or avoids surrender. And it is rebellious against God's word. So, and sometimes we often think that people who are born again are immune to carnal minds or to having a carnal mind. But the truth of the matter is that even believers can slip into carnality when they allow their feelings to lead instead of the Holy Spirit. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, where Paul speaks to the church. You know, so the carnal mind isn't just in the unbeliever. It can exist or exist in the believer who stops feeding their spirit. So when you are a child of God that does not spend time in the Word of God, that does not pray, that does not fellowship with other believers, it is easy to slip into carnality. So how do we see that we've slipped? What are the signs, you know, that one can pick up or can see in themselves when they've slipped into carnality? So the first sign you could look at is in Galatians 5, verse 19, the Word of God there says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, and the list goes on. So when our thoughts constantly lean towards sin, gossip, envy, pride, or bitterness, and all sorts of, you know, sins you could think of, that is a sign of carnal mind at work. And the carnal mind always defends the flesh. It always makes excuses and it rejects correction. But a spiritual mind, on the other hand, you see this in Galatians 5:22-23, the signs are love, joy, or the fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So these are the fruits that reveal a mind that is spiritual, a mind that is surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So one could ask, what are the real dangers of being carnally minded? Well, the first scripture we referred to, which is Romans 8, clearly stated that a carnal mind is, or to have a carnal mind is death. You know, so the Bible clearly states that a carnal mind leads to death, not just physical death, but the death of peace. You could be living a life that has no peace, no joy, a purposeless life. You know, so those are some of the dangers of living with a carnal life. What it does to a believer also is that it dulls your discernment. It weakens your prayer life and it distances you from God's presence. Okay? The example here is that when David fell into sin, it began with a carnal thought, a desire that was unrestrained. So the carnal mind is a dangerous thing for a believer to have because, you see, it feels normal. It makes sin look reasonable. It wants to justify sin. But not all hope is lost because when you read in Romans 12, the Word of God instructs us to renew our mind, right? So that means God doesn't leave us trapped in carnal thinking. He calls us to renewal. So Romans 12 verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So transformation starts when we replace worldly thoughts or fleshly thoughts with godly truth. And this can only happen if we are vested in God's word. So every time you open your Bible and you pray and you obey the Spirit, your mind is being rewired. Again, in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Amen. Now, the mind of Christ, we all know, is a mind that is humble, that is obedient, and that is focused on the will of the Father. So when we choose, you know, forgiveness over offense, purity over compromise, service over pride, we are actually walking in the Spirit. Another scripture is in Galatians 5 verse 16 that says we should walk in the Spirit and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not about trying harder, it's about surrendering. So the Holy Spirit actually empowers us to think differently, to see life through God's eyes. So living with the mind of the Spirit leads to life. It leads to peace. Peace in how we conduct ourselves, peace in how we conduct business, peace in how we make the decisions that we make, peace in relationships that we have. Peace during trial and tribulation. You could be in the middle of a storm and yet experience peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, so I love this scripture, Colossians 3 verse 2, that says we should set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. So when we focus, or whether when our focus shifts, you know, towards things above, we stop reacting to the noise around us. You know, because the noise around us tends to bring chaos, but a spiritual mind brings clarity. And with that, I just want to say, God bless.
Thank you so much, Sipati. We really appreciate, and of course, those solutions there, indeed, they are correct. We really need to be led by the Spirit of the Father at all times. 657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are. This is happening throughout up to the hour 8. And from there, men's dialogue, like I said.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
657 Media Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good. Welcome back. And of course, we basically are talking about a carnal mind. Part two of this session it is. And of course, I'm talking to Professor Buyiso Ndezi and Baruch Yah, featuring Rato, featuring Sipati, featuring Kwasi Nontlantla. It is just wonderful. And of course, also featuring Lisapo. It is just wonderful. I am enjoying every session of this. And of course, we needed to have part two of this. And it just came in handy. Malak, let me bring this to you now. When we touch on the way forward, how do we see carnality? How do we break carnality? What comes to you as the way forward is prescribed by our Father? What comes to you as a way forward prescribed by the Father when it comes to dealing with the carnal mind? Malak?
A carnal mind. I want us to look at the scripture in the book of Ezekiel 56, number 26.
Yeah.
Our word says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my ruach within you, that is the spirit, and cause you to walk in my statutes.
Mm.
So this tells us, or this teaches you and me, to say, when we have this stony heart, it is the heart that is rebellious.
Mm.
It is the heart of carnality. It is everything that we do outside of the world. But he says he's coming to do a spiritual operation.
Mm.
We have been taken into the theater of the spirit realm, whereby now he's going to give us a heart of flesh, and not that only, but this one he puts in a ruach within it.
Mm.
So it becomes a container that is coming to hold that which is of a ruach. But then the old one is stony. The old one is stubborn. The old one is all about the bling blings. It's focusing on worldly things.
The old one
is the one that gets rusted, but this one is the one, the new one, the one with the ruach, is the one where we can say now, the scripture says, lay your treasures in the shamayim where moth and rust will not eat.
Mm.
So we can see that there would always be a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, as per what Galatians chapter number 5 always outlined. So the struggle between the two, there's this overpowering of each other. And now it says, or it asks a question, what has occupied me? What has filled me up? Am I filled up by the flesh? Is it taking dominion, or is it the spirit that has taken over? So it is about the worldly systems. It is about the doctrines, right? It is about the way of man, the government of man, as opposed to the government of Abba Yahuwah. And who are you for? Who am I for as Baruch Yahu?
Mm.
Right, that is now a pertinent question that I need to ask, that I say, I am not of this world. So when I'm not of this world, it means then I cannot subject myself to carnality.
Mm.
I cannot subject myself to the worldly systems and doctrines, but I let the ruach of Abba Yahuwah to flow within me, and hence I become transformed, I become renewed from that which was stone, which was hard, but into now a vessel that is able to hold his ruach.
Mm.
Hallelujah. So that is what we ought to get to know. We look again at Psalm 50, 51, and in Psalm 51, David, our father, says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right ruach within me. We know what happened here. It was after he took, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and he instructed that Uriah must be put in the front of the battle in order to be killed. And now Nathan, that is the gift of Abba Yahuwah, comes and presents the case to say, hey, there is a man who did this, and he comes in the form of a parable. And, you know, he had plenty, but he chooses to go, I'm paraphrasing, he chooses to go and take this cow that belonged to Ahirei, and it was his only one, you know. And David said, yo, that man, I must know him, he deserved to be killed. And imagine, oops, Kwaza Mkonto. Now, Mkonto, Kwaza Kaya. No, that man is you. Oops, he shot himself in the foot. You see, but now he doesn't get to be stubborn and want to justify and whatnot. He now surrenders. You see, he now surrenders. And you can look at the character of King David, my grandfather, and you can look at the Saul, right? The two are anointed as kings, but one is stubborn. One is told, given an instruction, go and do this, right? Go and kill Agag and all that, and all the livestock I got. I want nothing from them. And he listens, and the mind gets twisted. He looks at this livestock and he sees it. Wow. He sees it and he says, wow, this would be good actually to make an offering for Abba Yahuwah. You see, already there's that twist that has crept in. And now in that twisting, guess what he loses? He loses something important very much, because it is through that process of disobedience that now we find that it opens the door for the one who is obedient, who is willing to listen, and Abba Yahuwah raise a new king by the form of King David. Hallelujah. So it is for us to be able to learn from that. And Saul does not stop. He still continues. He visits the graves when he goes to speak to mediums. Now, this is what the word tells us not to do in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, I think from verse 10. These are the things that are detestable before Abba Yahuwah. But what happens when we feel that things are not going on well? And I have done these things. You know, we come from somewhere. I would go and bath in the rivers. You know, they would give you inkuku, and the blood of inkuku run on you, and you take a bath. You know, and because I didn't know Abba Yahuwah, because I didn't understand who Abba Yahuwah was about, and I followed gossips, people spoke, people whispered, the words were tinkling in my ears that says, hey, there's somebody that I know that can be able to help you, because une bad luck. And you quickly say, hey, I see, because there's a whole lot of series of misfortunes that are happening around my life. Therefore, I need this help. Meanwhile, this is against the word of Abba Yahuwah. So this is what we ought to learn. This is how we ought to walk. Walk in obedience. Always carry his word wherever we go in Yahusha. Hallelujah. Amen.
Malak, thank you so much. I really appreciate. May the Father do you good always, you and your family.
Hlala ulalele umngane wakho wemihla ngemihla. Thola i-app yethu ku-App Store noma ku-Play Store. Futhi ungavakashela uradiopulpit.co.za.
657 Medium Wave Radio Pulpit coming to you, and of course on the final analysis of the matters. What needs to be done when one starts to realize that indeed, somewhere, somehow, in some of the points that have been spoken, I've seen where I am actually carnal. What do I need to do? And how do I overcome some of these things that I had gotten into, which had become strongholds? And I think at some stage we need to talk about strongholds as to what they are. Maybe in the next show we should talk about strongholds and what they are. Even all about. What do you say about that? Would you like us to talk about strongholds? Because they will show us the extent into which carnality has become somewhat downrooted into us, very much rooted into us, strongly rooted, anchored into our lives, and what to do to get rid of this. Now, Professor, let me bring this to you. In your final analysis, therefore, what comes to mind when we touch this very issue of carnality? What say you?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate. The other way of defining a carnal mind is the fact that it is impure. Titus 1:15 says, "To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled." A carnal mind is less pure. So it means it is a mind that does not see or associate itself with purity. If a mind cannot associate itself with purity, it means it doesn't associate itself with godliness. Godliness and purity go hand in hand. And if things are godly, things are good. And it says those are minds that have their consciences defiled. It means when the mind, or yes, when the conscience is defiled, that person can no longer distinguish between the good and the bad, between the right and the wrong. That person cannot be able to discern the right things of God. So we know exactly that those cannot be associated with God himself, simply because they are defiled, simply because they are not believing. So it also draws back to the fact of to the reality of lack of faith, because if we are not going to believe in the purity which is associated with God, it means you are not the people of faith in God. You are not the people who are in God. So it means we cannot see what's right, what's wrong. We think what we're doing is correct, and what this is what we have to live by. So that's a life and a mind that is in carnality, where consciences are defiled. It will only take the grace of God for the purification of that mind, simply because that mind is alienated from the Father. And we have found the scripture again in Ephesians 4:17-18, which we have spoken of earlier on, that this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. I'm talking about a carnal mind. This is a mind that is futile. This is a mind that is deadly. This is a mind that is darkened. The mind that is void of the life of God. This is a mind that is full of deception. This is a mind that lives for its own desires. This is a corrupt mind. We are talking about a carnal mind. This is a mind that cannot bear any fruit of life. This is a carnal mind that is unable to retain the knowledge of the Father. And we are hearing here that that mind will lead to curses, because that mind trusts in men, does not trust in God. As the Bible says, that cursed is the man who trusts in other men, and their minds are therefore associated with what they trust. This is what we are talking about tonight, brother. vocabulary. So that's a mind that continues to live for its own. And that's a mind that also dictates to the heart, and that's the mind that lives out the dictates of the heart. In Proverbs 24, verse 9, the devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men, simply because the devices are coming from our mind and are coming from our heart. So this is a mind that continues to devise things that are contrary to God, and that leads to sin, that leads to us being separated from the Father. And we remember that as we think in a certain manner, we do in a certain manner, and we act in a certain manner, and we are defined by that way. And in other words, it means that our works and thoughts are therefore associated with how our minds have been. So carnality will therefore be translated into our actions, and our actions therefore become who we are, because we are defined by our actions. So it means we need to guard against this mind called carnal mind, because it's a mind that is enmity against God, and it cannot produce any life in the life of a person. It's only when a person is in God, living by the Spirit, being called the Son of God, that we can definitely say this one is led by the Spirit of God. We therefore say a carnal mind is not led by the Spirit of God, and we give God praise. Thank you very much, Brother Ray. Thanks to everybody. Blessings to you all, a blessing to your family, blessings to Brother Barukia and his family, and also a blessed evening to our beautiful family of Radio Pulpit. Hallelujah. Amen and amen till we meet again.
Thank you so much, Professor. I really appreciate. May the Father do you good and graciously so. And we really enjoyed. Thank you so much. We appreciate.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. True, authentic Christian radio.
Coming to the final part of the matter, thank you so much for listening. We give the Father the praise and the worship and the majesty and the honor. It's been great. It's been wonderful. Thank you again to Rato. Thank you so much also to Lisa. Thank you very much, Lisa Po. I really appreciate. Thank you so much to Kwasi Nontlantla. Thank you so much to Sipati Tabudi. Thank you. I really appreciate. And thank you so much to our guests, Professor Buyiso Ndezi from UJ. Thank you so much to Baruch Yah from Cape Town. We really appreciate that. Thank you also for listening through, and thank you so much for being patient with us as we went through with the subject. We really appreciate. And of course, we are willing to learn more. I, for one, am willing to learn more about this. Even from you, as the Father leads, you can write to us on Facebook. You can also look at my Facebook there and talk to us. Even on X, you can talk to me. It's ray.lekhodi or Lekhodi Ray. Ray Ray at Lekhodi Ray. You can talk to me there on X about the very notion of carnality, whatever subject you want us to bring across. I really, really would love and appreciate that. To the King above all else, we give him glory, majesty, and honor. There's none like him. His name is Yahuwah, our Elohim, Abba Yahuwah. And we thank him that he has given us salvation. And through his son, we have seen that. His son, Yahusha HaMashiach, we have seen the salvation of the Father. And by his Ruach HaKodesh, he continues to guide us. That is his Holy Spirit. He continues to guide us into his truth. And we appreciate that. It's been great. From me, Ray, I say, Toda Rabam, leaving you with a beautiful song. Enjoy.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives in the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.